Well, tonight we have someone that you guys might not be that familiar with, but he's relatively new to the fellowship. So welcome, Cal. He's going to share his testimony here, please.
So start off with a joke, right? Is it too hot? Is it too loud? Sorry. If you look at your paper, I was reminded I can't do much worse than the main topic of the next discussion. Thank you for that. Oh, my testimony. Okay, so we started coming here not too long ago. We're Central. We came from Central. Born and raised at Horizon Central. That's the where I was saved. That's where I was baptized. I was baptized in Eagle Creek, though, before we started baptizing in your guys' pool. I have stood in duck crap and received all kinds. It was nasty. Straight up nasty. Straight up. Freezing cold. Anyway, I don't remember exactly dates. I'm really bad at dates. I wasn't raised in the church. I don't have the Christian family. My mother took us to Methodist church, you know, dropped us off and did all those things. So I don't know if that's where the seed started. I don't think so. I don't know. But I spent a lot of my life running. At 17, I was already out of control. But at 17, I believe, the Lord, my mom died, really sent me into kind of a weird, woe is me, I'm going to do what I want, and I have an excuse. So it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. I got another joke. My life was like the great Asian philosopher Confucius. Man who stands on toilet is high on pot, and that was my life. No? Thank you, Ian. So Ian's my hype man.
That's enough.
That's enough? Oh, I forgot to start this watch. Anyway, one day at work, I was pretty low, working just at a taco stand, and I had a friend that was coming to church, going to church, and I didn't know it, and his life was just better than mine, and we were all hanging out, and I just asked him one day blatantly, why is your life so much better than mine, and why are you, I mean, we're all doing the same thing, what makes you so happy, and he's like, well, you should come to church. That begins the beginning of my life at would be at Horizon Central. I started going with my girlfriend at the time, right? I think. I don't know. We were girlfriend and boyfriend at the time. Suddenly, then she became my fiance, and then we got married. And oh, man, there's so much that happened, though, since then. But we started going to church more. We started having kids. I just became more and more selfish. I was saved, but I just didn't understand it enough. I didn't turn over. You know, we want to say we're saved, but you never know that consecrating your life and submitting it all and giving it all to Christ and understanding that in your life, and you think you can live in both, and it was a complete travesty for me. I would continually go up and down for a decade, and we're going to fast forward through all that. Unless you want to know, one day I came home and, you know, I had lived for myself so long and had become basically lost my mind. Came home and my kids and wife, actually friends of ours, the Velasquezes, I don't know if anybody knows them, Paul and Jenica, they actually took my wife and they had to go into hiding for 6 months. I spent that time trying to get more connected with the Lord, and I did. And I manipulated my wife to move back in with me for the Lord's time. Things still didn't go right, up and down, up and down. This was my life, up and down. Actually, they were never high. They were really low, but So we're going to have to get to this point. Right? Let's just fast forward to that point. Let's go 4 years back. 4 years back, I was just still trying to live for myself, just being selfish left and right. And actually, so Wes said to make Jesus the hero. My wife is the hero in all these stories. And I'm not saying this. We're okay. really, it's her. But Jesus is the victor and all that, because my wife had a better relationship with Christ than I did, and I was jealous of it all the time. And I would use it as reasons to rebel all the time. And I was just jealous because she could live life better than me, and I was all in turmoil all the time. One day she came home and said that she wants to leave, and in my brain, manipulative brain, I'm trying to think of every reason to tell her to stay, right? You know, like how guys, you know, oh, I'll get better. It'll be fine. But then she says, but I'm not going to leave, because I made a commitment to you and I trust the Lord and all these things. So at that point, I learned something new, that I was grateful that she knew the Lord better than me, because I deserved to be left alone. I mean, there was nothing good about me left. At that point, the Lord just started working. I started meeting with Tracy Gray up here. I had a friend of ours, Pete, reach out to me and Ian and get me involved in this ministry now that we're doing here called Fight Club. All these things became tools in what God's grand plan was 4 years ago. I never read, not a very good reader. My mom didn't read to me. I didn't read. Tracy gets me reading Normal Christian Life. I asked the Lord to let me read it. I haven't stopped reading books since. I have just, something is totally transformed inside me. And I owe that all to Jesus and him just, and me understanding that I could do nothing without him anymore in my life. But through this ministry and through Tracy's love and then all my friends, you ever watch Wonderful Life? I can't get through it without, I mean, I lose my mind watching it. It is so upsetting and refreshing. I don't, you know, the end of the movie, like, he's the richest guy, right? Why is he the richest guy? Because of the people that he had in his life. And I am surrounded by some of the greatest people that I've ever known in my life. People like, you know, I can look around here. I know Michael and Tyrone, even this guy, you know, but Ian, but my wife, most of all. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to give her more credit than all of you. It's okay. But the Lord has really worked, he's given me the greatest gift, and that is my wife. I can sit back there, and Bill's like, you're going to give your testimony. And what's really crazy is I believe the Spirit speaks, you know, and I know he does. I don't need to tell you that. This is a different church. Yesterday, you need to write your testimony down, came into my head, and I just go, okay, whatever. I don't have time for that, and where do I start? And then he asked me today. So I'm telling you, I don't believe in coincidences, right, Ian? There's no such thing. Billy Brandel. He's in Fight Club with me, right? I'm going to tell a story. Can I tell a story? Billy Brandel's in Fight Club with me. I start talking to him, and I start looking at his face, and I know Billy. There's a picture I have of me at a Marilyn Manson concert from 1999 of me mocking Billy Brandel behind his back. I got your last name right, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mocking him. Look at that. Like 20, how many years? 21, 22? I don't care. And now me and him are going through life together. And I've got a picture of one guy in my lifetime that I've always made fun of me at this concert. Anyway, God, I don't believe in coincidences. There's some reason why all those things happen. So, hold on. Oh, crap. I mean, oh, dang. I wasn't raised in a church, sorry. I didn't. But, you know, and I always think about Jacob, right? You know, Jacob at the end of his life, and I'm not at the end of my life, I hope not. But he looked back, and I can see all these decisions I've made. You know, my mom died. I wouldn't be standing here today. I don't know if that, you know, but things like that happened to get us to this point. And I can look back and thank God for all the things. There are scars, and there are things that are unforgettable to some people and to me, but if I keep my hands on the plow, right, just like it says, and just keep going forward, those things are behind me. I don't look back at that. I just look forward, and I don't look too far. I just look at the moments anymore. And the Lord has just worked on me. So I still got 1 minute as far as I'm concerned. If you would like to know more, this was Michael's idea. If you'd like to know more, sign up for Fight Club round 14. We will be doing that here. We're in round 13. But I've got to know a lot of guys here, and moving it up here. Had such a great round with people memorizing verses, things I've never seen before. That God is really blessing the fact. And I've, like I said, I've just let go and let him just run this thing. I haven't put myself into it. I've surrounded myself with good, or he surrounded me with leaders and all this stuff. And the Lord has really worked on me. And one more thing, the Lord has really worked on me lately with my wife. And I just want to state this now because I needed to. And in Fight Club, I was supposed to. But anyway, when I look at my wife now, like, the Lord has given me some kind of new sight when I see my wife. And I'm so grateful. I just want to tell you about it. I see her differently. I'm just going to look at you without looking at her, Matt. I see her, and I talk to Ian about it, but I look at her, and I see her like I've seen her 20 or 17, 18 years ago. I see her in a new beauty because God, it's a gift. It's shining glory. It is the greatest thing that's ever been given to me, is my wife. And I can look at her today, and I haven't told her this because I can't do it without crying. So I'm just going to look at Matt and his dreamy eyes. It's really, really, really weird, but it's a lot better than crying. But I want you guys to know, like, that whole obedience and things, he's giving me greater gifts of this. You know, I'm reminded of my bride of my youth, and that is what's going on in my life now. My testimony, it includes her more than anything. And by the power of Jesus in our lives and Christ watching over us, we have some great kids that are just amazing to watch. And I'm thankful to him, and I give it all to him. And that's all I got to say about that. Fight Club round 14, you want to learn more. Thanks, guys.
That was super. Super, super. Revelation chapter 9. You might recognize this because this is 2 weeks ago when we ended our study in Revelation. I went quickly through Revelation chapter 9. I just wanted to give a preview on that, and I'd like to go back to that just touch base on that this evening. I gave you a handout, and for those that are connecting via the internet, if you want the handout, just call Lisa tomorrow, and she'll have some, and she can send it to you, too, or we can just send it over, to the internet, too, in that way. Let's begin in verse 1, Revelation chapter 9. Then the fifth angel sounded. Now, you'll remember prior to this, we've had the seals opened, and now we've got to the trumpets. And the trumpets there, if you look at the first trumpet in verse 7, the first angel sounded. This is chapter 8, I'm sorry. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. And so what we see now is that God's wrath is coming upon a Christ-rejecting world. For God to be a God of love, he must be a God of justice, or he would not be a God of love. And God gets a bad rap so often by people. You know, so many people say, well, God's not a God of love. Look at this and look at that. And they don't take time to realize how much God has waited hundreds and hundreds of years, you know, for the nation of Israel, and how much he's loved and what he's done. And then they obviously miss that he gave his only begotten son, that we could live forever and ever, and all that he has given. So he is just. He's just in his judgment. And so the world has come to a point, and the time has now ended, where the grace of God is being poured. Today we're still under the grace of God. Aren't you guys glad? We're still there, and it's getting crazy. It's really getting crazy. You've probably heard me say that before, but it's getting crazy. It just really is. And so now this time, mid-trib, I believe we're in here time-wise, and the trumpets are sounding. Then in verse 8 of chapter 8, then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And so that could be a comet, could be an asteroid, could be anything that we see coming out of the sky. believe that a lot of these things that we see are just going to be natural events, but magnified compared to what we see now, tremendously magnified. Then we see a third of the ships were destroyed there too in verse 9. And then to verse 10, the third angel sounded and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third. So this could be a meteorite at this in this point here. We see the damage is there. And then verse 12, then the fourth angel sounded and a third of the sun was struck and a third of the moon and a third of the stars. And so that a third of them were darkened, the third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And so we see these four trumpet judgments, and again beginning in the fifth one here in verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now notice, it isn't to it was given, but it's to what? Him. And we need to understand who this him is. And we'll come back through here, but I just want to go through and read it, and then we'll come back. He opened the bottomless pit. And so to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. There's a bottomless pit on this earth somewhere right now. And in that bottomless pit, I believe, is hordes of demons. And I believe personally that's what we're seeing here, that they're going to be unleashed upon planet Earth. And that's no small thing. You got to remember that these are fallen angels, but they are angels, powerful beings. 185,000 of the enemy, Israel's enemy, was destroyed by one angel. And so they're very powerful. They're nothing to mess with. I've had times, and many of you have had times, dealing with demons face to face through a person's life. It's not a lot of fun. It's something you have to be alert on. You have to be paying attention to, and you have to make sure that God's called you into it. And so to him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit. I see the smoke is just like the smoke of a burning great furnace. I think this is just the hordes of the demons. To me, that's what I see here. Could be, some smoke that comes out or anything like that. No one really knows, but I kind of lean to we just see these beings coming out of there. And so the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. So they're very powerful, these locusts, whatever they are that are given. Believe me, from left to right, people have different opinions on who they are. It doesn't matter. They're evil. They're wicked. They're powerful. They're dangerous. They're destructive. That's all we need to really understand. Verse 4, they were commanded not, though. Notice, God is still in control. You see the fingerprint of God right here. It's very important for us to recognize these small little things that we see. When we get into chapter 10, we'll see, a little time, a little pause. We'll see that God's in charge again. Don't ever forget that God's in charge. He oversees this. Doesn't take him by surprise. He could stop it at any moment, but he's allowing it to have its way because of the hardness of the hearts of people. And these are people we need to pray for today, that they would not be in the midst of this time. There's people upon planet Earth. So they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing, so they had limits, or any tree, but only those men, notice, only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So we saw back earlier 144,000 with the seal of God upon their heads. I also believe that, the born-again people at that point in the midst of this situation would be protected in that way. So he says, don't touch them. Verse 5, and they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold. Their faces were like the faces of gold. You see the description of these, the enemy here, that you see these, whatever these things are. They had breastplates, verse 9, like breastplates of iron. and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. So God takes a lot of time to explain to us who they, not who they are, but what they are. And they're powerful. And we'll talk about this in just a little bit more. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And so they're given this power over mankind to hurt mankind. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Who is that? Yeah, the Satan. We know that. One woe is past, and that's just one woe. There's two more woes, you know. One might go, whoa, you know. I'm not as funny as Cal, I know that, but I'm trying, you know, I'm really trying. Okay, so, but one woe, only one woe at that point. I mean, it's not a pretty time. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth trumpet, if we may. Then the sixth angel sounded. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. So we see a picture into heaven right here, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So God, again, is in control. In the midst of this situation, he's going to release these four angels. And it goes on in verse 15. It says, so the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. This is the enemy. They've been locked up. I kind of look at this that they're so wicked and they're so evil that they weren't given freedom that other demons were given. And they're there for a certain time. And then they're going to be released upon planet Earth. Tough picture. Verse 16. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. So there's going to be an army that's going to come out of the east. There's other descriptions. And right now the only nation that has an army of 200 million is who? China. Who's rising to the top of things right now? China. Who's doing wicked things? China. So don't miss where we are in the time of prophecy. You know, don't get overwhelmed by it. Just praise the Lord, keep praying, and keep close to the Lord, but understand where we are. And I believe, I'm excited. I'm excited because we're getting closer. We're getting closer. So, you know, we're closer than yesterday. Okay, so we're getting closer. Okay, but I think we're getting closer. I see it. I see things, and I'll state something here in a minute. So 200 million, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Now he's going to give us a picture of the horses. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue. Okay, that's what I meant to say. Okay, blue. My tongue got messed up. You know, it wasn't me. Sulfur yellow, and the heads of horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came smoke, fire, brimstone. By these three plagues that are being mentioned, a third of mankind was killed. A third of mankind. Now, is there 7 billion now? Is it 7 billion or did it get to 8 yet? So a third of 7 billion is a lot. You know, there's people that have died prior to this, you know. But still, it's a lot of people that we're seeing. Devastation. So three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. So these are powerful beings, destructive beings. But the rest of mankind, notice verses 20 and 21. Underline this, circle this, put a star next to it, and this should drive us to prayer. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, what's the next three words?
Did not repent.
Can you imagine the hardness of the heart of human beings at this point? I mean, all hell is breaking loose. Hordes are destroying. This may appear to be natural, but we know it's demonic in the sense Lucifer is in the midst of it. God has allowed it, but then did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. Notice what they did. They worshiped demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. You know, the Old Testament talked about people at that day. They would cut down a tree and they would take part of the wood and they would carve an idol out of it and they would bow down to it. The other part of it, they'd set it on fire so they could cook their meals. You know, is that the God you guys would want to serve? No, obviously not. But that's what they choose to do. The hardness of heart. The hardness of heart that we're seeing in people right now. Hardness of heart. Making decisions, you know, to destroy children. Making decisions to teach things that should not be taught in elementary school for our children. You know, it's dangerous. It's bad. And then verse 21, and they, again, did not repent of their murders or their sorcerers or their sexual immorality or their thefts. So that chapter there, now I'm going to go back just for a moment. I found a statement that I really, really agree with, and I felt that it captures where we are right now in present time. And I don't know who wrote this. The worst Holocaust the world has ever seen has taken place in the book of Revelation. Millions have been slaughtered by the godless society and government of the Antichrist. The godless government will insist that the people's first loyalty belongs to the state. Let me read that again. The godless government will insist that the people's first loyalty belongs to the state. Is that happening right now? It is. I hope we're paying attention. I'm not talking Republican. I'm not talking Democrat. I'm not talking independent. Let's just take all of that out. Take it all out and throw it out. Let's just talk about the reality of what's going on before our very eyes. The republic that we know is no longer existent. It is no longer existent. That's the republic that we know. I don't know if that doesn't, you know, bad bill by saying that, but that's the truth. It's not what we know. It's not what I grew up with. And it's not what you guys want to inherit, the younger people. It's devastated right now. So, and I know that's not a pretty picture, but yet on the other side of it, we need to pray. We need to share the gospel with people. We can't be afraid because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Perfect love casts out all fear. So we know that. We can't buy into that. There's no way we can do that. But we must understand the reality. But I'm not defeated. Are you guys? We're not defeated, are we? We're more than conquerors, Romans chapter 8 tells us. You know, we're new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's who and you and I are. The world is a crazy place, but please understand. It goes on here. The godless government will insist that the people's first loyalty belongs to the state. That's where we are. That's the message that is going out right now. Listen to this. The Antichrist will set up the state as a god and demand total allegiance. Anybody see that happen? God, I don't know who the Antichrist is, but I believe he's alive. I don't know where he is on this, you know. He will do, Antichrist will do what so many governments do today and have always done. And this is what it, demand that people focus upon the government and recognize it as the great provider and protector of society. Is that going on now? It's going on. It's going on. And so we have to understand the times that we're in. It's different than it was a year ago. Definitely different than it was 5 years ago. It's different now. Am I wrong?
No.
Okay. So, all right. I feel okay. All right. All right. So it's different. Now, again, let's not get downcast. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord and trust him. The statement goes on. He, the Antichrist and his government, will declare the age-old philosophy of the supreme state, that the government alone can make the needs of people and bring utopia to them. Anybody see that at all? That's what we're being told. It's exactly what we're being told. And that's what's being forced upon us right now. And again, I'm not talking Democrat. I'm not talking Republican. I'm not talking independent. Take all of it out. I'm talking about the reality of politicians, what's going on. I met with an attorney this week. Jordan and I met with an attorney this week. Really good man. If I mentioned his name, yeah, Eric Miller. You guys would know him. Okay, some, you know, he's definitely controversial in ways. Some people like him. Some people don't. I personally like the stand that he makes and all that. And he just said, he said to Jordan and I, he said, Bill, he says, even our Republican brothers in the state Senate and Congress are embracing, the majority of them are embracing transgender agenda. Now that's, and I'll just take that according to what he said, but he says the majority of the Republicans, definitely the Democrats, but, and I'm not beating up the Democrats. There's Democrats that don't, okay. But, you know, but he's saying it's no small thing. That's what I was hearing. I was listening. Okay, tell me about it. And I was understanding the times that we live in. And so those who refuse to give the government their first loyalty, okay, see if you guys agree with this. Okay, this is a strong statement. Those who refuse to give the government their first loyalty will be hunted down, imprisoned, and executed. Does anybody believe that's a possibility? This is called the United States of America. Okay? Yeah, well, think what's happened in China. Myanmar. Just think of different things that we go. Just take a moment and think about all the governments over the earth that hold to the supremacy of the state and deny God. How about Korea? Deny God and disallow freedom of worship. When the Antichrist comes to power, he will exalt the government and its leader worldwide, which is him. And so this is powerful stuff, right? Okay. Again, wow. I'm glad we started out with Cal with his jokes, standing on the commode and all that, you know. But, you know, again, I don't share this to bum anyone out. If we walk out of here tonight bummed out, we didn't hear it. We didn't hear it. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in that world, in this world. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's not a lie. It's not I hope so. It's true. It's true. Now, will Christians maybe have difficulty, see difficulty, you know, testings and all that? You bet. They're not excluded from in here. It says that even in the book that the Antichrist is given freedom. Now, the statement goes on and it says, but we have, what we have seen thus far is this. The great tribulation has now begun. The great book of God has now been opened. The book of destiny, the book that reveals what is to happen in the end time. God's judgment upon the ungodly and the evil of this world has begun to fall. Seven seals have been opened and four trumpet judgments have blasted the earth with natural disaster after natural disaster. The destruction and devastation upon earth has been unparalleled. One-third of the vegetation has been destroyed. One-third of the sea has been polluted, and a third of the sea life has died. One-third of the water systems of the world have been polluted by a meteor mass from heaven falling upon earth. One-third of day and night has been affected because of astronomical happenings throughout space. Not a pretty picture, but that's what we have coming our way. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, it tells us of a star. A star is said to fall from heaven. And what is this star? And again, notice that the pronoun him is just a to refer to the star. It is a person, and we know that this is Lucifer himself that is unleashed. And then he is said to be a star falling from heaven to the earth. This is past tense, the way it's expressed. It means that he was already fallen when God gave him the key to the bottomless pit. Christ said that he saw Satan fall from heaven, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Scripture gives a glimpse into the fall of Satan. He was apparently the highest archangel created by God, but he began to look at himself and choose to go his own way. Therefore, God had to do what he has to do with every person who rejects and rebels against him. God had to cast Satan out of heaven, out of his holy presence. And so that's why I gave you this here, guys, for you to continue your wonderful study from this wonderful Bible study, this uplifting Bible study, okay? Yeah. But you'll notice, just look at it a little bit, and I've given this out years ago, but I dug it out of the archives, and you can just see Satan I put on the title there, and he's known by many names. You can go through each one of these names, gives us a meaning of who he is and what he does, you know, so we can understand him in that way. Then I've given B there that you see on the first page, some scripture passages that shed light on the enemy of our souls, his origin, his ambition. He's the tempter, and you can see different things you can go through there. If you've never done a study on Lucifer, it's good. One of the things that we have to do if we're in warfare is to what?
Know the enemy.
You guys are so smart. You really are. Our colleges, you know, our West Point, you know, the Annapolis and the Air Force Academy and all those things, they have 11 principles that they follow. They all teach, and one of them is know your enemy. So there's nothing wrong with knowing our enemy and understand how he works, because we can recognize how he goes and how he works there. And so you just see different things that he does all the way through. But notice on page 3, please, all the way down at the bottom, number 19, he has what? He has limited power. He can only go so far. Even with Job, he could only go so far. He had to go get permission from God. And I believe he has to get permission in our lives too. If you turn over to the back page there, you'll notice under C, we must be on our guard against Satan's temptations. D, saints are given power over Satan. And then saints are given victory over Satan. And I've given a bunch of scriptures there. You always want to end with the truth in that way too. There. Make sense there?
Yes.
Okay. So then, thank you for saying it makes sense. That's wonderful. So only a little bit of time left, but I wanted just to emphasize some things here. In verses 7 through 10, notice the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and so on all the way through verse 10. I believe this is they're demonic locusts. They are like horses prepared for battle. They're poised and ready to attack. This could also mean that they were larger than the average size locust. So we don't know what they are, what they're actually, we know somewhat what they're going to look like, but they're going to be powerful. But they're demonic. The demonic locusts will have heads that look like they are crowned with gold. This symbolizes that they will have authority to afflict men. That authority will be given ultimately by God, but Lucifer will be right there releasing them upon planet Earth. The demonic locusts will appear to have the faces of men. This symbolizes the determination and intelligence of men. They will be set like flint in their attacks and have the intelligence to attack and inflict damage with their scorpion-like poison. So they're going to be powerful beings. Praise the Lord. Yeah, where are we going to be? I love her. Where are we going to be?
Heaven.
Do we believe that? Not that's just to get out of this, but I believe that's all part of God's timetable and the way he sets up prophecy and everything like that. But there will be people that know the Lord during this time, I really believe. And so the demonic locusts will have hair like hair of women, beauty to seduce and ensnare, in other words, to help them to seem innocent and harmless at first. This may mean long, I won't do that one, but the demonic locust, now everybody wants to know which one I skipped, don't you? No. The demonic locust will have teeth like a lion. That means they'll be ferocious. They'll be fierce. They'll be devouring. They'll be cruel. We'll see that. Demonic locusts will have breastplates as of iron. Indestructible is what it's being pointing out. Protected, defended. People will be helpless in killing them. And so, they're powerful beings. The demonic locusts will have wings that sound like many chariots rushing into battle. frightening and overwhelming people. There will be a sense of hopelessness in defending against them. The demonic locusts will have stinging tails like scorpions. Demonic torture will be going on in that sense there. So a powerful thing. All this stuff is unleashed on planet Earth. Not a pretty picture, is it? No, but God's in charge. He's in charge. And he's just being who he must be because of the rejection that they have brought on planet Earth. Verses 16 through 19, and I'm just going to wrap it up here. We see the horses will be horrible. They'll add terror upon terror on the ungodly. They will have heads like lions, ferocious, fierce, devouring, cruel, and consuming. They have mouths that spit out fire, a hellish and fiery nature, a vengeful, angry, and wrathful nature. They will kill one-third of the ungodly and evil upon the earth. And we see that in those verses there. Their power is in their mouths, heads, and tails. The head symbolizes intelligence. The mouth symbolizes deceptive speech. And a hunger is consumed, and a hunger to consume and to destroy. And the serpent-like tail symbolizes poisonous strikes and deadly wounds. Not a pretty picture, is it? No. But that's what we have in the Word of God. And the Word of God is true, and it will come true. So that's why we have to be concerned to pray, to continue to pray for anybody that we can that does not know the Lord. That there's a fable that Satan agents were failing in their various attempts to draw into sin a holy man who lived as a hermit in the desert of northern Africa. Every attempt had met with failure. So Satan, angered with the incompetence of his subordinates, became personally involved in the case. He said, "The reason you have failed is that your methods are too crude for one such as this. Watch this." That's Satan saying that. He then approached the holy man with great care and whispered softly in his ear, "Your brother has just been made Bishop of Alexandria." Instantly, the holy man's face showed that Satan had been successful. A great scowl formed over his mouth, and his eyes tightened up. "Envy," said Satan, "is often our best weapon against those who seek holiness." Be careful of the weapons of the enemy. Be careful. He knows exactly how to get to us, and that's why we have to be strong in the Word of God. When I was listening to Cal, and he was telling me that he was blessed because in the Fight Club, I thought the Fight Club was boxing. Shows you how spiritual I am. Cal came up to me and said, "Hey, Bill, can we start the Fight Club here?" And I go, "Boxing?" He goes, "No, that's not it." But I thought that's what it is. But he mentioned to me, he says, in this group that I give him memorization verses. And he said, I think he said 20 of them were able to repeat. So like that, yeah? Yeah? Okay, 20 sounds good. 20 sounds great. It sounds great. Yeah, it's like, but you know, it was just to me, I just thought, wow, you know, God's good. I pray that he gives us a hunger beyond anything we know. I pray that he revives us deeply. I pray that he refreshes us. I pray that he goes beyond anything we can imagine. You guys ready for that? We cry out that he would have his way in our lives, whatever that means. There's another way that the enemy gets to us, and I want to close with this. The devil decided to have a garage sale. You guys remember this one? No? Okay. Well, he decided to have a garage sale. Okay. On the day of the sale, his tools were placed for public inspection, each being marked with its sale price. There was a treacherous lot of implements: hatred, envy, jealousy, deceit, lust, lying, pride, and so on. Set apart from the rest was a harmless-looking tool. It was quite worn and yet priced very high. "What is the name on this tool?" asked one of the customers, pointing to it. "Oh, that is discouragement," Satan replied. "Why have you priced it so high?" "Because it is more useful to me than the others." I can pry open and get inside a man's heart with that, even when I cannot get near him with the other tools. It is badly worn because I use it on almost everyone, since so few people know it belongs to me. The devil's price of discouragement was high because it is still his favorite tool, and he is still using it on God's people. Be careful. Don't get discouraged. When we read these things, it can make us feel discouraged. Don't buy into it. In it is victory. Victory that Jesus is going to return, and someday the end of the book tells us it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. We'll be with him forever and ever. Amen? So I just wanted to go back to that. Read this wonderful study on Lucifer so you understand your enemy. Amen? Come on up, Ed. Shannon. And Grace still here? Come on, Grace. Father, thank you so much for the truth of the word. I pray that this Bible study has been submitted into your hands, and I pray that, Lord, we have gained, we have learned, we've been challenged. But give us a burden, Lord. Come and do only what you can do in our hearts, Lord. Set a fire in our lives. Lord, do whatever you want to do. We want to fall deep in love with you. Use us, Lord, to touch the lives of people. So we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please.